well, I'm pretty excited to bring you, very excited to bring you a, to kick off a new series called Dangerous Prayers. Is it up there? Let's get that first graphic up there. There we go. Dangerous Prayers. I actually thought it'd be really cool to have an older person finally in our graphic. Thank God for all the old people. Is that about three or four of us? Oh, never mind. But the dangerous prayers. Now, this series, we're doing four parts. Actually, it's five. There's four sermons dropped in the middle. We're not actually going to have a sermon. We're going to have testimonies and life stories and extended worship. Over these next few weeks, we run a very strong risk of lives being transformed. Seasons like this, where we are very intentionally going after God, seeking Him, it presents turning points. I'm very excited. Each sermon is around a dangerous prayer. And they have the potential to release you in a whole new trajectory of life. Beware. These prayers are not safe. I think too many of us pray safe prayers. Lord, can you please protect us on the road?
Safe.
Lord, bless us.
Safe.
Lord, can you be with us? These are good prayers, but they're all very safe. And the prayers we're going to look at in the Bible, they're not benign. They're not easy prayers. They're not expected and predictable prayers. They're not generic. They're not safe. They're dangerous. You see, God hears our prayers and God responds. You see, whatever your preferred tongue might be, it all originated from God, I think. He speaks Tongan. He speaks Afrikaans. He speaks English, Māori. He speaks the languages of the world. And when you pray and connect with Him, He will, in fact, respond to your prayer. Can someone give me an amen? God's not deaf. God's not a dumb statue. He's not wrapped up in religion. He's about people. He's about relationship. He's about words. We're going to look at four parts. Next week, it's subtitle, Break Me. Exciting, isn't it? Very inspiring. Lord, break me. It's the last thing we really want. But can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you, my beloved family, there's some things, there's a closeness and there's an intimacy with God that only comes on the other side of brokenness. And after brokenness, a week after that, we're going into lead me. You see our voices, there's so many voices pouring into our head. There's so many messages. I got Viber and I got WhatsApp and I got email and Messenger and I got everything going. But there's one voice I really must hear. There's one message I can't miss out on. I can't just delete. There's one voice I've got to hear. And that's the voice of, we're not a quiet little Anglican church down the road. Praise God for the Anglicans. We're a charismatic Pentecostal. We're living and breathing people, aren't we? We need to hear the voice of
God.
Thank you. And just for clarity's sake, the God of the Bible. There's only really one God and two religions. True religion and false religion. Break me. Lead me. And then finally, on the 26th of February, we go into send me. Now, this is going to be very interesting because we're not going to ask God to bless what we want to do. See, most of us pray like that. I make up a plan, I got my budget, I got my schedule, I got my times, I got my preferences. And then we say, if we're very religious and very good little Christianettes, we say, oh God, would you bless it? What would it look like if we just had an empty contract and we signed it? We said, God, I'll go wherever, whenever, and however you want me to go. I sign up. Lord, I want to sign up for a life that's totally God. Lord, you're not some little genie that I rub on the little pot and it pops out and says, oh, ask your wish and I'll do it for you. No, 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 you're God Almighty. You've got a plan for my life. I wonder what that would look like. Blank pages and just room for signature at the back and you go, sign away. We're going to look at that. But today, God, break me, lead me, send me. Today, we're looking at search me. Search me, O God. And we're going to just simply park at the very end of Psalm 139. If you turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalms 139. While you're there, I want you to know that David is being persecuted. David has got some pretty big dudes after him, physically. He's in hiding. And while he's in hiding, and while the pressure is pressing on his soul, his mind is filled of very intimate thoughts about God. His mind is preoccupied, it's overcome with intensely personal thoughts. And it's from the psalm that we learn that God knows when we get out of bed. It says God knows when we lie down. It's incredible. God knows every thought. So we think God just judges our words, but actually it's our thoughts. And it says that he was watching us not just as we were being, we were inside our mummy's womb. It says even before we were conceived, even before he saw us yet unformed. It's beautiful, intense, it's beautiful, personal words. And David is really coming to the end of himself. And at the very, very end of Psalm 139, in verse 23 and 24, he gives God four invitations. He prays earnestly and he lays it all out before God. And this is a very dangerous prayer. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. I'll just pray, read it right now. We're going to pray it as a people at the end of the sermon. He says here, and I like the New Living Translation on this, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends who? You. Lead me along the path of everlasting life. Search me. Lead me." It's like going for your restricted driver's license. You've read your road code and you've got your learners and hopefully you've got someone who's got a full license beside you, because nobody here drives on the learners, right, with no one else. Just pregnant pause for conviction right there. The amount of so-called Christians that just drive illegally is incredible. But anyway, I've had to talk to a few of the little stray sheep in the flock. But then comes that time, that restricted license, and you got some mean-looking person jumping in the car for 60 minutes watching every little thing you do. My own daughter-in-law has now had to go for it twice now because she went about 3Ks over the 50K zone. Watching everything, indicate 3 seconds, right, indicate. Da, 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 da. Search me, O God. Now, that's a good thing. And the scripture that David's praying here is actually more than that, because we all know when the driving instructor gets out of the cab, we all know we're going to drive at 55, 60 Ks, right? We behave ourselves in the car because we're being observed. David's prayer is going beyond that, to the heart, to no one else knows, but just you and me, God. You see, we're never really alone. Invitation number one is search my heart. Verse 23a says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." But Pastor, don't we have good hearts? Aren't we all good people? Actually, no. We actually have very bad hearts apart from Christ. If it were not for Christ, we would be caught up in our evil doings. We've just learned how to put a nice facade. But really in our heart, starting with me, we're actually by nature very evil people, very selfish people. You see, we're very good at deceiving others. In fact, I believe, deceive the most commonly deceived person is ourselves. In fact, I'm persuaded that we're liars. In fact, welcome to the church of liars. Any liars in the house? And those that don't put their hands up, guess what they are? Because we all lie. Did you know that? Oh, I don't eat a lot. Oh, I'm just going to have one drink. One or two, three drinks. I don't lust. No, not on me. I don't lust. I just appreciate the human form. I just like a nice figure. You know, athletics and just, you know. I'm not full of pride. I mean, can I help it if I'm just better than everybody else? Yeah. We lie all the time, especially in church. How are you? I'm fine. Hallelujah. We lie. We play little games. We look at the wrong things and we justify it. We eat what we ever want to eat and we justify it. We do crazy things with our money and we justify it. We justify it. We just lie to ourselves. That's what we do. Now, we'll try again, shall we? Any liars in the house? Ladies and gentlemen, your pastor is a liar. Jeremiah caught this so well in chapter 17, verse 9. He says, "The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." To ask God to search your heart is a very dangerous prayer, because He will. And only God can be terribly and brutally honest about our true condition. Are you ready for that? Are you willing to sincerely ask God to search your heart? Am I willing to do that? That leads us on to the second invitation. Reveal my fears. Search my heart. Reveal my fears. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." What makes you anxious? Many times we think it's just normal to be afraid. I'm not talking about snakes and spiders. I'm not talking about the man in the dark behind the shower curtain. You know, if you're the man in the dark behind the shower curtain, we're ready to go. No, I'm talking about afraid you're never going to get married. I'm talking about a fear of failure. Some people are afraid of success. I'm talking about rejection. Some of us are so locked up, we don't want to invest in relationships because of our past and because of rejection. Fear of losing a job. Maybe a fear of being stuck in a bad marriage. If you're not married, praise God, you want to get God's man or woman for you, I'm telling you. There's no hell like a marriage that is bad. You wake up every morning and go, "Ah! You again. Could you wear a paper bag?" No, that's just okay. Why does this matter? Because, now catch this, because what you fear the most is what you trust God with the least. What you fear the most, you trust God with the least. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." I've been praying this prayer. They say it's good to have these things work on you before you even deliver it, right? So, God, here we go. Lord, not because I have to, because I want to. Lord, search my heart. And the Lord spoke to me. And there's really two strong fears in my life. One fear is failure. I am driven. Too often I'm driven to succeed, to do the right thing. I have a fear of letting people down. And that's a problem. Because the Bible tells me that it's impossible to please God without faith. God did not give me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And the worry of letting people down and the worry of not succeeding just resonates so deeply with me. And God's been taking me on a journey, but it's still there and it's still present, and I'm afraid, excuse the pun, I'm afraid, I'm worried, I'm concerned that that is too much of a driving force, and so the Lord's been working on me. Praise God for that. But when I said, "God, reveal my fears," He spoke to me about that. I dare you, I double dare you to pray that prayer. Test me and reveal my fears. God's going to point things out, ladies and gentlemen. God will respond to you, and he will point things out. Maybe that you have not been willing to really acknowledge for years. See, some of the junk that we live with, and some of the things we think are our personality, or we think, you know, we kind of justify our little issues, actually are not really. They're just kind of workarounds that we develop because of past hurts and pains. But if we say to God and trust God with the tenderness of our hearts, and say, God, would you test me? Would you reveal fears about my life? God will speak. Are you glad about that? God will speak to you. And now this is where it gets fun. This is where we change gears. This is where we go up a notch. This is where it gets just a little bit more difficult. Invitation number three. Uncover my sins. Search my heart. Reveal my fears. Uncover my sins. I love the courage of David. He didn't write all the Psalms, but he wrote this psalm. And he had the courage to pray this dangerous prayer. And essentially he's showing, God, show me. Show me anything about my life that is inconsistent with your truth. Show me anything that I'm doing that displeases you. This is a brutally honest one-on-one convo. All the gadgets are off. It's me and it's God. And David's saying, show me. You see, David is intoxicated with God. He can't get enough of God. His wonder and his beauty, his speechless, incredible Godness. It's like, search me. I want to come closer to you. I don't want 2017 to be just another year. Search me, test me, reveal. Incredible courage. Have you noticed how difficult it is for you and I to see our own sins? Oh, it's so easy to see everybody else's, isn't it? Oh, look at her. Look what she's doing. Look what she's doing. Oh, if I had my moment, if I could have my few words with that person, look what they're, oh, I can't believe it. They're going over 50 k's an hour. So easy to fix our eyes on other people's sins. What about you? What about me? It's what we do. We accuse other people and we excuse ourselves. Judge not, lest you be judged. This hypocrisy was so vividly displayed in my own life recently. Oh, I feel so embarrassed. And all my illustrations go straight to driving. It's okay. I just have a very low tolerance for idiots on the road. And I'm persuaded that most of them have got their driver's license from the Weet-Bix packet. Well, if you know where I live, it's on the North Shore. Yeah, I know, it's that funny place over the bridge. And anyway, I come over, offices in town, and every day I go across that bridge. And there's a thing called a solid line. Dotted line means we can change lanes. Solid line means we don't change lanes. Now, maybe I've got heightened awareness these days because I'm on a beautiful motorbike. And despite my noise and my coolness, no one sees me. Regularly, here's this particular day, and I'm going over there, and someone just drifts over the next lane, no indication. And you wouldn't believe it. Who the heck do they think they are? Just a little fancy pants, little vehicle, just cruising on with their little, you know, convertible looking all flash, probably got lots of money in the bank, think they own the road. What do they think they're doing? Of course, you couldn't hear me because I had a helmet on. And then I get off at Cook Street exit, not far from here, and if you know the church office, there's solid lines outside the office. But I ignored that, and I just kept going around. I went right across the solid lines, and then it dawned on me. You, God, I was running late for a meeting. But God, it's only a motorbike. But no, God, I'm a pastor. Okay, I don't sin like that. Richard, no excuses. You hold them to that standard, how about you live to that standard? Lord, uncover my sins, the hypocrisy. Since I've been praying this prayer, you wouldn't believe the amount of hypocrisy in my heart. Or maybe you would. Subtle things, not big things, but just subtle things. Little judgment calls, I love people, but just assuming things. Don't know the full story. Jump right in, you know? But of course, for yourself, you've got this whole context, this whole background, big story. We all justify it. I'm not even going to ask for a show of hands because I know we all do it. And if you're perfect, this ain't the church for you. There's churches down the road that are perfect. If you're looking for a perfect, this is the church for the imperfect, all right? The broken and the needy. Is that cool? And you can get up now and leave if you want to. That's cool. Yeah, they do it better down the road. Search me, God. Not flippantly, not religiously, but genuinely search my heart. Reveal my fears. Uncover my sins. It's a dangerous prayer. Are you bold enough and courageous enough to give God that kind of permission? Now, let me just help you. I want to give you three simple questions because I think they might help with our self-awareness. Because I know you're cool and you got it all down, but actually things may not quite be like that. A bit like your great surprise about my crossing the solid line. Three questions just to help us with our self-awareness and our examination. Number one. What are others trying to tell me? If you've had more than two people point the same thing out to you in a good way, what's the common denominator? No, we're not going there. No, we're not going to. No. Judge not. That must be from the devil. If three good people have spoken to you about something, you talk too much, you talk too loud. Pastor Richard, your language is a bit crude. All kinds of things. If more people are saying it to you, it might be right. My friend, is it time to face it? Is it time to ask the hard questions? Second thing I would ask, what have I rationalized away for some time? Oh, it's just my personality. It's just the way I am. Well, nobody's perfect. Least of all you, Pastor. We just rationalize away and we justify our sin. Well, there's nothing wrong with a little bit. There's nothing. God's a God of grace. Grace. More grace. God is a God of incredible grace. But ladies and gentlemen, time and time again through the Bible, you'll find that grace is the power to say no to sin. Do not let grace be an excuse for your wicked worldliness. That wasn't in the notes, by the way. It was just blooming good preaching. Some trash you'll hear on the internet, some trash you'll even hear on Shine TV. Grace, 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 grace. God has abundant grace, but he wants to see holiness. God is a God of holiness, the power of God, the grace of God empowers us. It's not some drippy, limp-wristed kind of a permission to live how you like. That is not following Christ. Can someone give me an amen? Search my heart. Reveal my fears, uncover my sin. Let's get rid of compromise. Let's get rid of justification around stupid little minds, playing games with God. What this nation needs are people sold out for God. What this nation needs are people that will pray Psalm 139, 23, and 24 and mean it with all their heart and be ready to respond to God. That's what we need. We don't necessarily need more money thrown at our society or more political answers. Yes, we have to work up those areas. But last time I looked at the Bible, the church had a very central role. It was the vehicle, the mechanism, the institution that Jesus has founded and is building today to reach the world. And those who call that place home and those that call that place the house of the living God will be transformed by the working of the Word of God and begin to move out and be a people who are different and a people who would constantly be sanctified and looking to their God and saying, God, continue in this relationship. Please reveal things to me and I will confess and repent and turn from my wicked ways, that you would make in me a work of holiness, that I can reflect the one who died on the cross. Third question for a little bit of self-awareness. Where am I defensive? No, we're not going there. How? No, back off. Where are you defensive? Maybe answering those questions might just lead us on a journey to discovering sins in our life that need to be uncovered, that we've packed down so neat and tidy that not even God has the permission to get down there. Would you pray that prayer? When you invite God, search me, test me, reveal my fears, uncover my eyes. When you invite that, God's going to point some things out. Isn't that a dangerous prayer? This is a prayer about courage. It's a prayer about brutal honesty with our Maker. It's a prayer of a person who wants to mature and grow. A prayer that does not want 2017 to be the same. Can someone give me an amen on that? For some of us, it was a challenging year, a stink year, a difficult year. Even if it was a great year, last time I looked in the Bible, it goes glory to glory. It doesn't matter how good. Growth, fruit, impact, healing, breakthrough. I'm believing with you, my friend, that God will do incredible things this year. It's time, every nation, Auckland Central, to be very honest with God. Very real with Him. And praying this prayer ultimately will bring us closer to Him. The prayer is born out of David's heart to be closer to God, to hear Him clearer, get rid of all the static, all the busyness, all the complication, and just hear His voice and respond. You know, naturally responding, not out of obligation, free from obligation, just trusting God as a good father. He won't expect more than we can deliver. He knows our backgrounds. He knows our sensitivities. And He won't abuse it. He won't be rough like some of our families have been and our teachers and our coaches may have been. He's God. And He'll be with you. And He'll mold and shape you and I. I love that picture of the clay, the moist clay on the potter's wheel going around and just letting the Father get His hands on us and just put a little bit of pressure here and there to make it a beautiful cylinder, make a beautiful bowl and put it into the kiln and make it solid for the Master's use. That's what God's doing with our lives. If you will let Him. Search my heart, reveal my fears, uncover my sins. It all culminates, it all comes together with the fourth and final invitation, which is lead my life. It says, point out anything in me that offends you, God, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. When God responds to our prayer, the appropriate response is to confess to Him. You know, confession's a powerful thing. The Bible teaches that when we confess to God and we repent, now His grace and His forgiveness is poured into our hearts. We confess to God for forgiveness. We confess to each other for healing. verse John 1:9, confess your sins to God, that he'll be just, he will clean, forgive you and to cleanse you of all your sins. We confess to each other that we have healing. Confess your sins one to another that you may be healed. When God reveals things, we respond and say, God, I own that. That's true. Thank you. I'm sorry. We pray a prayer of repentance and we line up our hearts to Him. All of our stuff simply reveals our great need of Jesus. Without Jesus, there is no hope. Without Jesus Christ, there's no healing. This room is full of lives and people, broken people, who've experienced the healing touch of God. Had their hearts mended, restored, reconciled to the Father, reconciled to family, reconciled to loved ones, reconciled to calling, reconciled to purpose. Would you pray that prayer? Would you pray that prayer with me? And this is how I want us to respond. As we're going to stand, we're going to pray the same prayer that David prayed while he was out there somewhere in the fields, hiding behind some rock. Enemies are pursuing him, thinking this could be it. Pressure all around him, busyness. Just drawing closer to God. Let's stand to our feet if we could. If we could go to the next slide. Can we forget about the person around us? Forget about that we're even here on a Sunday morning. If you can't pray this from your heart, then maybe don't pray. Just let it go. That's cool. But I want you to pray it from your heart. A dangerous prayer. It'll change your life. Maybe not this afternoon, but the wheels begin turning. The angels start getting released from heaven. Things start happening to make you the man or the woman that God has called you to be. Can we pray on the count of three together, all together? One, two, three. Search me, O God, and know my heart. And test me, and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you. Lead me along the path of everlasting life. Let's just close your eyes and listen. Wait on God. Speak to some of you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that while there is breath in our lungs, there is hope in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that you've not given up on anybody here. Thank you, Lord, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And those that are here today that have not yet given their lives fully over to you. Lord, as I have prayed this prayer, please invade their world in a very personal way, in a very intimate way, in a very practical way. Let this year look so different, God. Not only the pursuit of comfort and eradication of pain and pressure, that not that kind of good year. I'm talking about a year, God, where we grow closer to you. And Lord, even if that means hardship, even if that means, Lord, difficulty, give us the strength to walk through it. Allow us, Lord, not to become bitter, but become better. And keep our eyes upon you. And that in 12 months' time, we can look back and say, I'm a different person. I'm trusting God in more areas. I'm reflecting Jesus and more in my life. I'm closer to the Father. You see our hearts, Lord. You've heard our prayer. And I thank you that now you're beginning to move. Take us. We are yours. Thank you. Amen, amen, amen.